those week after week here, heading towards, and then we'll try to set the goal. Let me say this before Brother Knickerbocker comes. I'm going to ask him to just speak quickly before he turns loose these other two men that are going to go tonight. He has some books and things on his table back there that'll be a help to you. Brother Tom Knickerbocker has done a lot of things in the ministry, pastoring being one of those. He's very good on music, but I've used one of his books in the college before on ministry, and so they'll be a help to you. And so if you have time tonight, go by the table and let him maybe take some time to talk about maybe one of your new books or something, brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate that so much. We've been having a wonderful time here in Florida with three of our national pastors. Actually, we had a total of five. One fellow from Mexico had to go home because of his wife was expecting their fourth child, and she was starting to hemorrhage, and so he had to take off really quickly. And then we had another fellow here just for about 1 week, and from down in the islands. But we've been working for the last 2.5 months with Brother Mino Edvard from Haiti, and Brother Steve Marilla. You don't know him, but he's from Kenya, Africa, and then Brother Peter Owaga over here from Kenya as well. And it's been great to get to know these men. I'll tell you, when you travel with missionaries like this, you really get to know them. And these fellas are just the same all the time. They love the Lord. They're faithful to God. They're men of prayer. They're men of the Word. And their testimonies are true, and they ring true. And it's just a wonderful privilege of mine to be part of that. You know, I had someone tell me one time, you know, these national pastors, there's no accountability with them. And I have a really good answer for that. I said, well, how many mission boards do you know that send a representative with their missionaries the entire time they're on deputation? Think about that. Nobody does that except Help Ministries. But we are with these guys 24/7 for the most part. And we have a number of drivers, and they travel with together and ask them questions. And by the time we get 2.5 months under our belt, we pretty well know what we're supporting, amen, and who we're supporting. On the table in the back, don't forget to pick up their prayer cards. Do you guys bring your prayer cards tonight? They've got a bunch left over, so they'll just give them out just generously tonight. This is our last service. And these guys are super excited to go home on Tuesday. I can't figure that out for anything, but why would you want to go home? But they've been talking to their parents, their husband, their wives, and children every day, just about. And so pick up their prayer cards, and I put together some a music CD of Christmas music. And you might be interested in that. There's a book back there that goes with that. There's 14 songs, Christmas songs, and with a CD that helps you to hear how the songs go. And then my brothers and I put together a CD this last year. It's very hard to get together. One's in Texas, one's in Virginia, one's in Pennsylvania, and I'm in Florida. But it took us a whole year, this COVID thing going on, to get each one to come into the recording studio, and sometimes I had to take the studio to them. But we finally got it done, and it's a real blessing. The theme is that Jesus is my friend, and he is. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer to their brother. I wrote a new book on missions called God's Design for World Missions. A lot of really good how-to stuff in there, like how to pray for your missionaries, and there's some great things there. I wrote another book before that, which is a small book, called Around the World in 80 Ways. You've heard Around the World in 80 Days. Well, I just took that and changed it to Ways. And there's 80 ways to get involved in missions. So I put that in the book as well. And so there's a lot of good stuff in there. And then there's some books back there by my son, Luke Knickerbocker. And he wrote a book called Keep Thyself Pure. It's for young people and how to keep themselves pure till marriage. There's even a chapter in there for preachers. Boy, you need that today. It's sad, but sometimes you do. But he's got a new book out that's got 10 stories of people in the Word of God who were just bound by chains of sin and how God released them. It's really good for giving out to people who are lost and good friends that you might have that need the gospel. And there's other things back there as well. So stop back there and see us after church, and we'd be glad to be a blessing to you on that. For tonight, Brother Edvard, I'm why don't you come, Pastor? And he pastors a church. Bring your Bible with you, unless you don't. Of course, he's not going to be preaching, so he can give his testimony. These guys have been done this so much now, they can do it in their sleep, I think. And we appreciate Brother Mino. He's from Haiti, doing a great work down there. He'll tell you a little bit about that. Right after he's done, though, we'll have Brother Steve come and finish us off tonight and give us a short message. And so if he knows how to do that, we've been training him on that, though. So he does very well, and we appreciate these men of God. Brother, about 10 minutes, okay?
Thanks. Good evening, church.
Good evening.
I am very glad to come here and be with you. I always say a thank you to Help Ministries for this opportunity to have us in the United States to talk about our ministry, our ministries. I'm happy, and I say thank you to Pastor for this opportunity to stand up here. So first of all, I'd like to say, grew up in the church. In that church, I was school. In that school, while I was there, in the church and school, I received Christ, I get baptized, and I keep doing school. And when the time to come to study Bible, and it was the same missionary of that church and school. He was in Haiti that's a long time. And he take me his home in Port-au-Prince. There he got a university, Heritage Baptist University. So there I learned the Bible, and after we finished, he said to us, we can go start church. I am in your back. That means for me, if you go and start a church, I will support you. So he said that to us, to all the students. And we finish, we get out. And after that, at that same time, I was looking for a job, because at this time I was at Bible College. I also studied other things, trying to work as a young man to have an income. So, while I was looking for a job everywhere, and God did not call me, God did not give me the job I was looking for, but he says to me, Mino, I have a good job for you. Go to reach people for me. Amen. And I go present gospel to people. That was difficult for me. No money. Finished Bible College. I don't have a job. And God called me. Often God calls you without nothing, because God has taken the word for you. Amen. So God keep doing it with me. I go present gospel to a place, and that close to my house, and people come to Christ. I go back, people keep coming. I come back again, people keep coming. Then I have a lot of people come to Christ, and I was even don't know what to do. And I talked to a friend. I said, man, you see, I go to preach the gospel somewhere, and I have many people come to Christ. He said, well, if you find many people come to Christ, you need to find a place to start a church. He said, I find that's a good idea, and I take that idea, and I'm trying to find a place. And there's a lady got a yard, and I asked her if I can start church at this yard. She agreed with me. She said that, yes, this yard is not mine. It's a place I rent, but you can start. And God gave me his grace. I start the church. That girl got a coconut tree, and I start my church under that coconut tree.
Amen.
But under that coconut tree, people keep coming to Christ. People keep coming. We keep evangelize. People keep coming. And the church grew up there under that coconut tree. But there's one thing happened one time. It was an accident. I got that little money. You know, I told you I did not have the job. and I have to pay taxis to go and back. I have to take two taxis to go and two taxis to get back. That was hard. And money finish. One day I say, Lord, well, you call me, but I don't have money to keep going. And I have money to go, and I don't have money to get back. And it was not easy. It is not easy to walk a feet at night in Haiti. It's difficult, it's dangerous to walk a feet a long distance in the darkness to go home. That's not easy things. Something wrong can happen to you. I say, Lord, today I will understand. If will you call me to do what I'm doing, because I don't have money. If you want me to, really, I want you please to let someone give me a ride to get home. Let someone give me a ride to get home. After I finish with dark, with late night, and I will want to get home, and I don't want to walk a feet because it's dangerous. Let me find someone to give me a ride. And after I finish, I don't have money to go back home, and I am in the wood. And you know what God did? I saw a man pass by on a pickup. I don't want to say, hey, give me a ride. I don't want to do that. I want to see how God will give me the answer. And that man was like looking to see if I want a ride. And I just left my hand like that. And that man quickly stopped and say, come in. And you know, that man going to pass by my house. That man going at the same place with me. Amen. Then I understand, really, God called me to keep preaching. Amen. So when I know that, send that man give me that ride that proved me God with me in what I'm doing, and I don't even afraid to walk at night now because I know God is with me. Amen. So that's the best thing when you know God is with you. Amen. If God is with you, God will do things you never know. That's right. So I keep going, keep preaching, and the church was leaving that place, go to another place, go to another one, and I keep praying. God give me his grace. We bought a piece of land. We started the building. We have the walls go up, but we don't have a roof on it. We're going to descend worship in the church, in a place, and there is no roof. And when it's raining, what you going to do? When it's raining, the water coming in, and people stand up on the water to keep worshiping. So it's hard, but I know God can put a roof on that church. Amen. So pray for us. We believe that for sure. We believe God will put a roof. Nothing is impossible for God. I believe that. In that church, we got a program for children. We used to have more than 100 children come in that program. We teach them the words of God. We help them find some food. It's not the easy things. But God always give us his grace. Amen. To doing that. We have a ministry program. School ministry, we teach young people, young men, to work for God. While I'm here, they're preaching, leading song, do things in the church. So pray for us for that. I always want to start the other church, but it's not easy for me yet. Because in 2005, I started another church, but I was not able to keep both churches. My first church says, Mino, you need to stay on me. I need your presence. And my second church says to me, Mino, you need to stay on me. I need your presence. That was too hard for me. I spent a long time on a bicycle for two churches. My back was almost destroyed. I become sick. I ran that bicycle too much. So I found finally in 2010, I can't keep working in both churches, in two churches at the same time. And I say, Lord, well, help me to do things. When I'm ready for another church, I'm ready. Because for right now, I have my church home to go to evangelization. I do that every three last day in the year at hospitals. I visited hospitals, present gospel to people while they are sick on the bed of sickness at the hospital. Often I have many people come to Christ. This year, I was not on time in December because I was too busy working in the building. I did not go in December, but I go in March. I remember I have about seven people, five or seven people come to Christ on the sickness of bed. While they lay down on the bed of sickness, they say, give me Christ. Give me Jesus Christ. I want to receive him in my life. I want to know where I'm going if I die, where I am. So God give me that grace to present gospel to people. And it's something I like to do. I like that, present gospel. Let me tell you this to finish. Everywhere I see many people, I want to present gospel. I even do that at the time I am on the airplane to come here. In the airplane, I stayed up and talked to people about Christ. I know it's difficult, it's dangerous, but God put the burden on me to present gospel to all the people wherever I can. So pray for me. I like this. And I need your prayer for the roof. I need your prayer for my family because Haiti is very difficult. Very difficult, you know that. And God called us there. We want to stay there because we want to be in God willing. So keep praying for me, and we know God will do things we never know. May God bless you. Love you, guys. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Open your Bible to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 15. Thank you all very much for your prayers. I'm from Kenya, and you all know me. And if you don't know me, I'm Steve Aluda Murila, all the way from Kenya, Africa. Some people call me Murila the Gorilla. And if you listen to Gospel 93, that's today. This is the face that you usually listen to. And it's just a blessing to be here at Landmark because I spent all my years since 2017 over here. And, you know, I'll just say this to college students. You know, all these men here that are here with gray hair, and they have a prayer list for you. And they pray for you each morning. Some even wake up in the morning very early, around 4 o'clock. And they pray for you by name. So don't take it for granted, because somebody somewhere is praying for you every night, every morning. So thank you very much for praying, and keep on keeping on. Keep on praying, because your prayers is not in vain. And right now in Kenya is about 3 o'clock, and my parents are watching me right now. So Mom and Dad, I love you all, and wherever you are, my dad has a children home, and some of the kids are up to watch me preach tonight. So I'm just going to be short so that they can go back to sleep. You know, because it's around 3 in the morning. And sometimes 3 in the morning, that's the time that they say, if you want to, the devil works very well at 3 in the morning. So he's not working well over there because I'm preaching tonight. And if you're not on the winning side today, you can be on the winning side. You know, if you don't know that you're saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe tonight will be your night. And I'm so glad that Jesus came to save me. Amen. And if you're not saved tonight, what are you waiting for? Don't play church. Don't play church. If you play church, church will not play you. You know, and it's just a blessing because I have a lot of professors here now. And if I mess up my English, blame it on Miss Johnson because she taught me English. So if I mess up on my doctrine, Dr. Pitts was my doctrine teacher. If I mess up on maybe Christian ethics, Pastor Parsons was my Christian ethics, you know. And my church polity, I hope my church polity would be well because I'm holding the mic that Dr. Mickey Carter, and he taught me church polity and Revelation and Daniel, you know, all good class. And Dr. Bradley, world history and preaching and homiletics, I love you, church. Amen. And I love you, each and everybody that was praying for me and is praying for me. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. And it's a blessing because Brother Doug is over there, and he was one of my classmates. And we all graduated, Brother Doug, so it's a blessing. You know, you don't have to write all the papers. You have to manage the radio station now. All right, let's get to this because we can say all that we can say, but the main thing is the Word of God. Amen. And Luke chapter 15, it says, "Then drew near unto him all, the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And you know, one time we were working at maintenance, and you know, the leader of maintenance here in church, the one and only Brother Hutchinson, and every time he will say, "Don't work as a Pharisee. Don't work as a Pharisee. So be a good worker. Don't be lazy." L-A-Z-Y. All right, on the job training, you got to do something for the Lord. And if you want to do something for the Lord, don't act like a Pharisee, all right? Verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the Lord, of angels of God, over one sinner that repenteth." Dear Lord, I say thank you for tonight. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, God. I pray for this church, God, and I pray for all the prayer requests that have been mentioned here tonight. God, please just touch the sickness, and you're a great physician, God. Please just use me tonight and give me liberty. I love you. In Jesus' name, I pray and believe. Amen. And also this parable here we are familiar with, and one of the things is the prodigal son. And everybody, if you ask them about the backsliding and all, they will take you to this story. And you know, tonight I'm not going to talk about the prodigal son, because we have the lost sheep from verse 1 to 7. This is the lost sheep. And we got the lost silver from verse 8 through 10. That's the lost silver. And we have the lost son. And this verse is very familiar, the lost son, from verse 11 through verse 32. But tonight I'm just going to preach about this silver, the lost silver. So in the tape room, I know we have topics here. Maybe I can say tonight, what have you lost? What have you lost? Maybe you, sometimes we lose that loss of salvation. You were just very, very excited when you had that fellowship, when you got saved, and you said, I'm going to do something for the Lord. But when it comes time, maybe you forgot about it. But I'm so glad we can't lose our salvation. I'm so glad that God, when God died for us and we got saved, we can't lose it. Because we are sealed till the day of redemption. Yeah. What a blessing it is to know that one day when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, what have you lost tonight? Maybe you're wondering about your son. Maybe he's lost and he doesn't know Jesus Christ. Or they were saved, but they are backslidden. Or they were doing something. Or you have one that family member that you've been praying for and they never got saved. And you're still praying. Don't lose hope, because one day God will touch them and they will say, I need to get saved. Amen. What have you lost? You know, and the ministry of the Trinity, this is the ministry of the Trinity here. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We see that in this passage here. Verse 8 says, either that woman, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lost one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. You know, sometimes we lose something in our own house and you're wondering, I know this thing is here. I know this thing is in my house. I know it's there. But you can't find it. And you look for it, or if you're wearing glasses and sometimes you're wearing glasses there on your forehead, but you're wondering, where's my glasses? I've lost them. And you're like, seriously, it was just on my forehead. I didn't look for it. I didn't look for it. You know, the first thing I can say of verse 8 is the losing of the silver. The losing of the silver. This lady here, she knew she lost her silver. Maybe she was wondering, why? Where's my silver? Where is it lost? The losing of the silver. And the people that time, she said, people were asking her, what are you looking for? And she was saying, I'm looking for my one silver. And people were saying, just one silver. Why are you looking for? Just leave it. You don't have to look for it. You know, but the thing is, it meant so much for this lady. It wasn't worth it for anybody else, but it was worth it for this lady. She was looking for that silver. She was looking everywhere. She was dealing with that. Maybe there are some things we cannot put price tags on. You know, some things like love. We can't put price on the love. The love that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You know, sometimes we tell each other, I love you, I love you. But once they do something wrong, you're wondering, do I even love him? Do I even love him? But the thing is, when Jesus Christ sent his son, Jesus Christ, he saw you and he say, I love you and I need you. And you know, the love of Jesus Christ, we can't measure it. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. I don't know about your testimony. I don't know how you got saved. But you know what? You can tell somebody your testimony and they can get saved. Because maybe you're a crackhead. Maybe you're doing dope. Maybe you're doing all that. You know, you can relate with them. Maybe you're in a mission. But you know what? When God sent his son, he knew that he is needing you. And this silver, when the circumstances that the lady had, maybe she was doing something in the house that made her lose that silver. And she was looking and she was looking the chores that she had that morning. Maybe she was wiping the house. She was going, if they had wardrobes that day, she was wiping everything and she was washing dishes, and the loss of silver went away. And she was going, and she didn't intend to lose that silver. She didn't intend to lose that silver. Sometimes the flesh will make us do something that we didn't want to do. Sometimes things and friends will make you do something that you didn't want to do. But are you? What did you lose tonight? And I remember one time in Kenya, in Africa, where I was born, and I was born in a little area, very bad area. It's a slum area. That's where I was born. Wickedness, immorality. But I'm so glad I was born in a Christian family. Yeah. You know, sometimes people take it for granted, but you don't know what you have till you lose it. You don't know what you have till that time you say, God died. God sent his son to die for you. And I remember one time my dad told me, son, I don't want you to go to that field, because that field people are doing all kind of wickedness. People are doing all kind of immorality. But I said, Dad, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to play soccer. I'm going to play hide and seek and all that. But Dad said, no, I don't want you to go there. And you know, once Dad says something, you gotta listen. Once Dad says something, you gotta be respectful and say, okay, Dad, I've listened to that. And I remember I had three friends who came to my house that day and said, Steve, let's go to play soccer. Steve, let's go to ride bikes and just have a good time. But I told them, hey, Dad told me not to go. Dad told me not to go. So I'm not going to go. And they said, oh, let's just go. We're just going to play soccer. We're not doing anything else. And I said, no, I'm not going. I might lose your friendship, but I'm not going to disobey my dad. And at that time, my friend said, okay, if you go with us, we're going to come to church on Sunday with you. And I was wondering, well, my friends are telling me they're going to come to church on Sunday. And I've been inviting them, and some came and some didn't come. But that time, I was wondering, should I go to play soccer with them, or should I just stay at home? And every time there's two voices in my head, Steve, don't go, but Steve, we're going to come to church. And you know those friends that you get say, pinky promise, I'm telling you, we're going to go, we're going to play soccer, we're going to have fun. And they pinky promised me, and they said, we're going to come to church for real. And I was wondering, but my dad said not to go. What am I going to do? So I ended up going, and guess what? I had a good time. I played soccer. I played hide and seek. I didn't do anything wrong. But it was time for me to go back home, and I was remembering at that point, Dad had told me not to go. And I have three sisters. And you know, if you have three sisters, sometimes sisters can be snitchy. And I said, I went back home, and Dad was telling me, where did you go? And I said, Dad, I just went to have fun. I just went to play soccer. I didn't do anything. And Dad asked me, where did you go? I said, Dad, I just went outside. And Dad said, if you tell me the truth, you're just going to get one for going. But if you're not telling me the truth, one, you're going to get one for lying, and you're going to get one for disobeying me. So I said, okay, Dad, I went outside and play. I went to that field that you told me to do, not to go. And that night I was whooped till I forgot my name. You know, and the thing is, you know, Dad told me, I'm not whooping you because I don't love you. I'm whooping you because I love you so much and I want the best for you. You know, that's the same love that God has for us. And if my dad can whoop me so hard and I forgot my name, what about God? What can he do to us? You know, sometimes we are unfaithful to God, but sometimes God is not going to let us go. He's always faithful, and he will remain faithful even when we are not faithful. He will still say, I still love you. Remember the son that went, the prodigal son. His dad was looking for his son every time. When is my son coming home? When is my son coming home? And he was waiting and he was waiting. But when the son came, his dad gave him a big hug and said, son, I still love you. You know, God has loved so much, and he gave his son, Jesus Christ. You know, he didn't just give his son because of Americans. He didn't give his son because of people in India. He didn't give his son because of people, any place that you can mention. He gave his son to the whole world. For you, for me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. He didn't say just because of Kenya. He didn't say because of Africa. He didn't say because of India. Whosoever. That's the same person in India, the same person in Kenya, all they got to do is say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, and this lady here, she was wondering, maybe the problem could have what she was going to. She was going through all this kind, and she was looking for that silver. And verse 8 says, and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. She didn't lose it. She kept looking for that silver. She kept looking for that silver, and she swiped the house. She did all that. She was going through all the under the tables, and she was looking, and she was looking. And sometimes she was just talking by herself, and she was wondering, where is my silver? Where did I lose it? And she was looking, and she was looking. You know, there's sometimes we're just doing something right. Every time we're doing something right, but we're doing it in a wrong way. You know, sometimes you can be driving, and the sign says, just drive 45. 45 is the speed limit. But you say, I'm not going to go 45. I'm going to go 85. And you're going 85. You're going 85. You're driving. You're driving. And all of a sudden, there goes the popo. And you're wondering, where did the popo come? You were going for 85, and you're supposed to go 45. Are you going to blame the popo for that, or are you going to blame for yourself? Amen. You're doing the right thing, right? You're on the road going, but you're not obeying the rules. Amen. And then we're going to blame it on something else. We're going to say, they hate me. They don't hate you. They hate what you did wrong. You know, because that sign is there for a reason. And sometimes we don't like the signs. We don't like the signs sometimes. The signs are there because there's something happened that you're not supposed to do, right? But God gave us this Bible here. This is our sign. And we got to go through it every time. We got to say, God, I need you every time. I need you every hour. I need you, God. I need you. Even when my friends don't like me, God still loves you. Even when you're hopeless and you're depressed and you're wondering what I'm going to do, he still loves you. And he's still there for you. And he still needs you. He's always there. Sometimes you wonder, where is God? God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. He's there when you are not doing the right thing. God was still there. When you are doing something stupid, he was watching you. He's always there. And you know, sometimes, there's one time I was reading an article, and it says, I think it was on Sword of the Lord, and there was a lady that said, God is on a vacation. That's why we have California fire. That's why we have all these kind of things. But you know, I wish I had that lady's number so that I can call her and say, God is still there. Amen. He didn't move. You are the one who moved. Right. He didn't do anything else. He's still sitting on the throne and he's watching you. You just went astray and you're just saying that he's on a vacation. God never takes vacation. We do. We go to the beaches and we take all kind of pictures and we tell people, look how I'm having fun and all that. But God never takes vacation. He's always there. The second thing is the looking. The looking, it says, there's verse 8, the last one, it says, and seek diligently till she find it. She was looking for this silver. And she was looking. You know, sometimes we can just go through everything in the Bible and say, I've read the Bible all year. But what did you get from the Bible? Are you just reading the Bible to check off marks and check off point and say, I'm just reading it because I gotta check off marks? You know, in Kenya we have this animal called the cheetah. The cheetah is very fast. The cheetah is very pretty. Cheetahs are very, very nice. And people nowadays, they're wearing all these ladies. They're wearing animal print because it's very pretty and all that. You know, but the cheetah is very fast. And the cheetah, once it starts hunting, it looks for this prey and say, I want that gazelle, that big boy gazelle. I'm going to get it. And once the cheetah starts hunting, it goes and say, that's what I want. I don't want that small one. I don't want that small one. I want that big boy gazelle there. And once the cheetah focuses on his mind and say, that's the one I want, it's going to start going after it. And it's going to run and run. And these little gazelles will come in the middle. These little gazelles will come in the middle. But the cheetah will say, I don't want you. I don't want you. I want that one. You know, in our Christian life, we will say, God, I just need you. Even when the devil is trying to distract you with something, say, God, I'm still going to focus on your word. Even when things go wrong, God, I still need you. Like Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, if we take maybe our mind and see what kind of thoughts you have in your mind, are you going to be ashamed of those thoughts? Are you going to be ashamed and say, please don't look in my mind? What's in your mind? What have you lost? What have you lost tonight? Have you lost that joy of salvation that you are excited and say, I'm going to do something for the Lord? And then something came, it distracted you. You forgot about it. Maybe you're praying for your grandpa to get saved and they never got saved. Don't lose it. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. And I remember when I was in high school, you know, over here, Thanksgiving is time to come for family and just praising God and giving thanks to the Lord. But in Kenya, we have Christmas break. And Christmas is where people come, and it's still there. People here do too. And Christmas, we go together with parents and grandparents and all that, and cousins, and have a good time. So I remember one day when I was in high school, and after high school, I graduated and all that. And we went to visit Papa and Nana, and we were talking about all that. And I remember one time I asked my Papa, hey, Papa, are you saved? And Papa said, no, I don't want to hear it. Just be quiet. You know, in Kenya, we have this, most of the tribes or community, they say, young people just, when they are on the table, around the table, young people just need to be seen. They don't need to talk anything. Don't say anything. So every time I used to ask Papa, are you saved? And Papa said, no, young people just need to be seen. But I said, Papa, this is a very important question. I know I need to be seen, but you got to answer this question. But Papa didn't want to answer it. And I knew he's not saved. And I started praying for Papa. I prayed. And I remember one time I was just playing soccer. I was just excited. And I was praying for Papa because Papa said, I'm doing good. I'm everything good. And I said to Papa, Papa, you know you can do all good you can get. But if you're not saved, you're not going to go to heaven. You can be a good man in the community. You can be kind. You can be all that. But if you aren't saved, Papa, you're not going to go to heaven. And I kept praying. And one time, I was just in the field playing soccer. And my phone was ringing. And I went back. And he had called a long time. And he had called a lot of missed calls. And I was wondering, what's wrong with Papa? And I called him back. And I asked, hey, Papa, what's wrong? Why did you call me for a long time? And Papa said, I just got saved. You know, and I was praying and out praying and I rejoiced and they said, thank you, Lord, for listening to my prayer. Amen. No, you can be here tonight and you're praying for somebody to get saved. Please don't lose hope because God, when it's the right timing, he's gonna get saved. When it's the right timing, you know, God's timing is always the best timing that we can get. God's timing never runs void. He's always there, and he's going to meet our needs when it's the right timing. You know, right now, Papa is almost 91 years old, and he's telling the community about God. He's telling the community how God saved him and how people need to get saved, and he's a soul winner, and he's still going. You know why? Because he knew that he needs to get saved. And God worked in his heart, and after that, God held his heart, and he got saved. You know, what's one thing that you've lost and you're wondering, God, I need you to work in my heart. I need something. You know, sometimes you go through all these things and wonder why things are happening that way. You know, and people say, why do bad things happen to those people who are saved? You know, in our own lives, there's trials and tribulations. Look at the story of Job and how he lost all these things, but he still said he was still faithful. He was still faithful. He lost his riches. And his wife said, just curse God and die. But he said, I'm not going to do it, because he trusted in the Lord. You know what? In Christian life, we need to trust in the Lord. Let's trust in the Lord. The last thing that I can say is the laughter. The laughter, verse 9. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. She called her neighbors and said, neighbor, I got my silver. Neighbor, I got something. You know, what's that one thing that you've been praying for? Maybe your friend, you've been sharing for them about something, your burden that you got. And once God answered it, you say, neighbor, God answered my prayer. Neighbor, it's all good in the hood. You know why? Because you know that God answered your prayer, and it will be good if everything is good in the hood, right? You know, the laughter that we can see in verse 9. And that lady that she was wondering, my silver has lost and everything was lost. You know, in our Christian life, we just need to get connected with God. Get connected with a good church. Stay faithful. Be faithful. Have good manners. Gentlemen here, open doors for ladies. Have good manners and say, God, I just want to get connected to you. I want to do the best. I want to be a great Christian. And God will give you rewards. You know, we have rewards. Sometimes it's Christmas. Christmas is coming. And sometimes you can invite everybody to church. And every time they tell you, every time I go to church, everything they do is ask for money, money, money. You know, last time I checked, Black Friday, all they asked was money, money, money. Christmas is coming. All those gifts, you're not going to get gift for free. You're going to buy that gift and you're going to wrap it. Money, money, money. You know, the good thing with church money, you got to pay the light bill. See, all air conditioner, the air is flowing very well. It's not for free. You got to pay money for that. That mission gauge there, supporting all missionaries, over 100 missionaries, you're part of it.
Amen.
If you can go to Kenya, I can go. If you can go, you can give. If you can't give, you can pray. Amen. And you keep on praying until God answers his prayer. Amen. Verse 10, it says, likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. You know, the day that you got saved, the angels rejoice. Amen. And say, he got saved. The day that you were lost and you were wondering how things are going to do, the angels rejoice. You know, that time when you're going soul winning and it's so hard and you're wondering, how is this thing going? But when somebody got saved, the angels are rejoicing. And they're rejoicing because of your work. They're rejoicing because you knock at their door and somebody got saved and all that, you know, just getting saved. That's our job, telling other people about God. We don't have to stop telling people about God. We don't have to stop passing out tracts. You know, and when I was here, I served at various ministries here. And there's one time we had camp, and this was 2019, I think you remember, Pastor. And Pastor liked this story very much because he thought that time, I told him I'm always bold like a lion. And that time, there was this kid, you know, at camp, kids like having fun and all that. And there's this one kid that was, every time he was being in trouble, Every time he was disrespecting the counselors and all that, and I'm like, this is enough. I'm not going to get it anymore. He wasn't in my team. But I saw what he was doing every time, and I called him. I said, why are you doing this? And he was trying to disobey me, and I said, I'm talking to you. You gotta come here. You know, and he started running away, and I said, okay, you're gonna come back. And he kept doing it, and one time, I think we were praying, and he was joking, and I said, we are praying, you know, and you gotta obey God. When it's prayer time, it's prayer time. It's not playing time. And this kid was just doing whatever he can. And that day, I remember I held him very tight, and I took him to pastor, and I said, I don't know what's wrong with this kid, but he's just causing trouble every time. And that day, I went to the woods, and I started praying for him. And I said, God, I don't know what he's going through. And that night, he came to me, and he started telling me what's going on, and his family taking, they just leave him alone and all that, and he started crying. And I'm like, I didn't even do anything. I didn't even slap you. I didn't do anything. And he was just crying and crying and telling me about all his home stuff. And that day, pastor prayed together with me, and we prayed, and you said, you know, God will take care of it. And that night, God took care of it. He came and he confessed and all that, and I'm like, I'm not a Catholic priest. You don't have to confess to me. Just pray to God, you know. And that day, he came and he talked and talked and talked. He was just pouring his heart out, and he was sharing what he's going through at home. And I remember that day, after praying, we were at the tabernacle, and he called me. He said, Brother Steve, I need you to pray for me. And I'm saying, okay, this is the kid who is not patient with me. And I went to the altar and prayed for him and all that, and he said he just want to do right, everything is just want to do right. And I prayed together with him, so it was time to go home. And I remember we came outside the parking lot after dropping all the kids, and he brought his dad to me and his parents, and he said, this is the guy. I'm like, oh, this is the guy. Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm Steve, you know. And he said, why did you do that to my son? And I told to his dad, you know, if you can't show love to your kid, we can show love to him. And if you can't do all this, and I remember that time, he said, I'm going to go to the law. And I said, I got Jesus. Jesus is my Lord, and he will take care of me. And at that moment, his mom came. And remember, pastor, the mom started crying. And she said, I'm just happy for what you did to my son. You know, but the dad was not happy. And out of it, pastor said, oh, we'll take care of it. And the dad was just angry. But the mom knew that what we did to his son, it was supposed to be done that way. You know, sometimes if you're a teacher, sometimes if you're a counselor doing something, don't lose hope for that kid. If you're a bus worker, just keep on being patient to them. Because at home, maybe they're facing things that you can't face. They are depressed. They are hopeless because, you know, we have hope in Jesus. Amen. All that hope we can get from Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He saved me. I remember I was saving a camp, and I thought just because mom is a teacher and dad is a pastor, I got it right. And I went to a camp, and preached about heaven and hell, and I said, it's all right, I know all those verses, my mom teaches me about them and all that. Come Tuesday night, everything was good. Wednesday night, I couldn't handle it. I was so shaking. I was shaking bad. And, you know, camp, sometimes you can get excited and you're cheering for your team. And that day I was just sitting over there doing nothing. Thursday night, I was just shaking. I was just wondering, when is the next service going to be? And I was shaking. And I said, I need to do something. And I remember after preaching that Thursday night, I came to the altar and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen.
You know, He came to save me. I got saved on Thursday night at a camp. I can take you to that place. You know, and my burden is to go back home and tell kids, these kids who are lost, they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. My burden is to show them too how God saved me.
Amen.
You know, I don't know about you, but if you're here tonight, maybe tonight is your night. What are you waiting for? What have you lost? Have you lost the joy of salvation? Have you lost that fellowship with God that you had before that you got saved? Hey, the altar is open. Maybe tonight is your night. Do something for the Lord. Don't stop praying for those missionaries because they need your prayer. Dear Lord, I say thank you for this time. The invitation come, God. And I just love you, God. Thank you for saving my soul. God, if somebody is here who doesn't know you as a personal Savior, God, please just convict their heart and touch them, God. And if maybe somebody is here and they've just lost something, God, that they've lost that joy of salvation. They've lost that's one thing, God. You know their hearts and you know what they're doing. You know what they're going through, God. Please be with them. Protect them in everything that we do. In Jesus' name I pray and I love you. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet tonight. It's been a good message for us. What is it that you lost, folks? Something that Steve preached about tonight that really touched your heart. Maybe there's something that you feel like is missing. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, the altar's open. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. My plan.